Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakasipu, King of the Demons. Text number 7 and 8. So because we have text number 8 on the board, we'll chant that together. And text number 7, I'll just chant by myself. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasya takta subhavasya greener maya vanokasha bhajantam bhajamanasya bhalasye vas Stira Atmanaha. Together we'll chant the next verse, text number 8. Machchula Bhina Grivasha. Machchula Bhina Grivasha. Bhurina Rudhirena Vai. Bhurina rudhirena vai Ashrik priyam tarpayeshye Ashrik priyam tarpayeshye Bhartaram me gatavyatah Bhartaram me gatavyatah Machchula bina grivasya Bhurina rudhirena vai Ashrik priyam tarpegeshye Bhartaram me gatavyatah Machchula bina grivasya Bhurina rudhirena vai Ashrik priyang tarpayeshye Bhartaram me gatavyatah Machchula bina grivasya Bhurina rudhirena vai Ashrik priyam tarpayeshye Bhartaram me gatavyatah Machchula bina grivasya Bhurina rudhirena vai Ashrik priyam tarpayeshye Bhartaram me gatavyatah Bhartaram me gatavyatah Ladies, Tasha. Of Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tyakta Samavasya. Who else giving up his natural position of being equal to everyone? Grinehe, most abominable. Maya, under the influence of the illusory energy. Vana okashaha, behaving exactly like an animal in the jungle. Bhajantam, unto the devotee engaged in devotional service. Bhajamanasya, being worshipped. Bhalasya, a child. Eva, like. Astira Atmana, who is always restless and changing. Mad, my. Shula, by the trident. Bina, separated. Grivasya, whose neck. Burina, profuse. Rudhirena, by blood. Vai, indeed. Asrik Priyam, who was fond of blood. Tarpa Yeshe, I shall please. Bhartaram, brother. Me, my. Gatavyataha, becoming peaceful myself. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality toward the demons and the demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boor to please his devotees. The demigods, just as a restless child leans toward someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was fond of sucking blood. Thus I shall too be peaceful. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The defect of demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Aranyakasipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Aranyakasipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change. And being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11, avajānantimāṁ mūdhā manusīṁ tanumāśritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective, and thus they generally attain Sayujya Mukti, because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being. They think they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that the demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat-eaters and blood-suckers. Hiranyakasipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 26, Patram pushpam valam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tad aham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanah. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or a flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he's feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful and is bhaktavatsala, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhaktavatsala. In other words, he's always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. As far as Rudhira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there's no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there's no question of blood. But the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is red as blood. When the demons achieve Sayuja Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Sayuja Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord's garland prasad. Hare Krishna. So, this verse, Hiranyakasipu is blaming the Lord. And the previous chapter is preparing us for this verse. What was the previous chapter, chapter 1 of the 7th canto? That the Lord is equal to everyone. But here, Hiranyakasipu is finding fault with the Lord, saying the Lord is not equal. He should be equal, but he's not equal. He's favoring the demigods. He's favoring his devotees, the demigods. And Hiranyakasipu compares the Lord to a child. If you give a child one laddu and say, come here, he'll come here and take the laddu. Right? If you give him a laddu and say, go there, he'll go there. Right? So Hiranyakasipu is criticizing the Lord, saying he's like a child, he's restless. He can go here, he can go there, he can change his mind. He's supposed to be equal to everyone, but yet he favors the demigods. So this is his rationale for being inimical towards the Lord, who killed his brother Hiranyaksha, just to please the demigods. Out of his partiality towards the demigods, out of his attachment to the demigods, he killed his brother Hiranyaksha. But yet, in the previous chapter, the whole chapter is dedicated to the concept that the Lord is equal to everyone. He's not partial. In fact, Hiranyaksha, or the demons, this whole story is a question, is brought out, or this part of the Bhagavatam is brought out, because Maharaj Parikshit was wondering, how is it that Shishupal, when he was killed by Lord Krishna, his soul merged into the body of Lord Krishna and got Sayujya Mukti. He was so blasphemous, Shishupal, right? From the time he was born, his father's name was Damagosh, right? And he was born deformed. His legs were not properly formed. And he used, instead of talking, he used to bray like an ass. So, the family priest gave him a benediction, though, that he will be rectified. When he sits on the lap of a certain person, he'll be able to talk normal and his deformity will go away. But that same person whose lap he sits upon, he will be offensive to that person, and due to those offenses, he will be killed. So Krishna, he came to the house of Damagosh, the father of Shishupal, because he was his relative, right? And he took the newborn baby on his lap. And as soon as Shishupal came on the little baby came on the lap of Lord Krishna, immediately he could speak properly. He stopped braying like an ass, and his deformities went away. So then his mother immediately remembered the words of the family priest. And she realized that Krishna would, if her son would be offensive, and Krishna would kill. So she fell at the feet of Lord Krishna. And she said, if my son ever does an offense to you, you forgive him 100 times. And Lord Krishna said, Tatastu, so be it. I remember once the devotees in New York, they organized dramas, very nice dramas. And the name of the devotees, they called themselves the Vaikuntha Players. The Vaikuntha Players. So they were organized, these dramas. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada would watch the dramas. And he would become very excited seeing these dramas. So I remember the devotees did one drama. And that was the killing of Shishupal. Right? There was the Rajasuya sacrifice. And at the Rajasuya sacrifice, the most prominent person is supposed to be worshipped first. So Sahadev, the youngest of the Pandavas, he stood up and said that I propose that Krishna be the first person worshipped at this sacrifice. And he began to explain the glories of Lord Krishna. After that, Shishupal stood up and he said, now I can understand the power of the illusory energy. Because I see such exalted persons here in this assembly, but they have all become bewildered by the words of this small boy, Sahadev, when he's suggesting that someone who's just like a crow should be worshipped at this Rajasuya sacrifice. When Bhima heard that, he immediately went for a sword to kill Shishupal on the spot, no question. But Krishna held his hand. Wait. And then Shishupal went on to blaspheme Krishna again and again and again. And on the 100th time, because the devotees and the saints and sages at that Rajasuya sacrifice were becoming so disturbed by Shishupal's offenses, Krishna called his Sudarshan Chakra and immediately cut off the head of Shishupal. And when Shishupal laid down dead, from his body came an effulgent particle and merged in front of everyone. Everyone could see that he merged into the body of Lord Krishna. So I always remember that drama that the Vaikuntha players played in New York. But Maharaj Prichit Shishupal was so blasphemous, he felt that Shishupal should go to hell forever, the lowest regions of hell, for blaspheming the Lord. But even though Shishupal was such a blasphemous person, he was always meditating on the Lord. So the Lord reciprocated with that by delivering him with Sayuja Mukti. So the Lord is always equal. It's not that he's favoring the demigods and therefore the demigods conquer over the demons. Rather, as explained in the previous chapter, the demigods are following the Lord's instructions. They're situated in the mode of goodness, whereas the demons are situated in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So therefore, naturally, they conquer over the demoniac persons. But we see here that Hiranyakasipu, although he has this demoniac mentality, he's always thinking of Vishnu, right? And he's seeing the Lord as, although he doesn't understand the Lord, he thinks the Lord's like an ordinary person, still he's thinking of Lord Vishnu, right? Whereas other atheists, other persons with atheistic mentalities, they deny the very existence of God. God doesn't exist. The atheists think that because the devotees of the Lord believe in God, who they cannot see, therefore they are simple-minded, foolish people. But when Srila Prabhupada would be questioned, sometimes he was giving lecture, and someone would say, "Can you show me God?" Srila Prabhupada would reply, "What is your power to see God? Right? Is God so cheap that you'll say, 'Oh God, come before me and dance,' and he'll immediately come?" If we turn out the lights and it's dark, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. So why are you so proud of your eyes? Show me God. What you'll see? So that's the atheist who's trying to put forward the philosophy, there is no God. So if there is no God, what is there? There's just the material nature, right? And it runs, the demoniac mentality says that this material world runs under lust and desire for sex life. Therefore, this material world is working. So such persons who don't understand, who deny the existence of God, they're overpowered by kaam, krodh, and lobha. Lust, anger, and greed. The world today is run by the demoniac persons. They're atheistic. They do not believe in the existence of God. After this life, they say that there is nothing. Nothing. Just like the Buddhist. The Buddhists have a similar atheistic conclusion. What is that conclusion? Shunya. Shunyavadi. Right? What does shunyavadi mean? Shunya means zero, right? Shunya, 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 zero, zero, zero. Nothing. So in the ultimate realization, if you've been a good Buddhist, what do you get? Nothing. You go into nothingness, right? Hari Bol. So they are just like the atheists. The conclusion is atheism. Right? And they reject the authority of the Vedas. And then you have the Mayavadis. Srila Prabhupada said that the Mayavadis are actually worse than the atheists. Because they say, yes, there's God, but he has no senses, he's not sentient, he can't see, he can't walk, he's dumb, he's blind, he's deaf. Right? So they're actually worse than the persons who deny the existence of God are the Mayavadis that say there's a God but only criticize him, blaspheme him by their nirakar conclusion, without qualities, nirguna. Yes, the Shastras mention God is nirguna, but that means not without qualities. He has qualities, but he has no material qualities. Just like Hiranyakasipu is thinking that he has a material form, and with his trident he will cut off his head, and his blood will flow, and he'll satisfy Hiranyaksha. But that's not possible. Lord Vishnu doesn't have a material body. He has a spiritual, transcendental form. That's Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Completely spiritual. The Mayavadis conclude that a conditioned soul, by tapasya, meditation, can come to the platform of merging with the Brahman. And become God. This is a favorite thing in the Mayavadis. You're God, I'm God, we're all God. But God never becomes God. God is always God. God doesn't not become God. How does he do that? Right? That's not possible. The living entities, they're titasta shakti. They are sometimes attracted by the material energy and sometimes attracted by the spiritual energy. Therefore, they're known as marginal energy. But the Supreme Lord is always situated in the transcendental position. So the every conditioned soul, I'm sorry to say, that means me and you, and at least me anyway, are affected by the demoniac mentality. Lust, anger, and greed. The process of devotional service, which begins by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Can free us from these demoniac qualities. Right? We can become free from lusty desires. And sometimes it seems like an insurmountable task, becoming free from lusty desires. But what is not possible for the Lord to do for his devotee? The Lord can do anything for his devotee. The Lord can free his devotee from all types of material desires. It's described in Shastra that within the heart of the conditioned soul, there are so many material desires, it's just like a big mountain. There's a whole mountain of material desires inside the heart. So many different desires are there for trying to enjoy in this material world. Right? But the Lord, meditation on the Lord's lotus feet On the lotus feet of the Lord, it's stated in the Bhagavatam, act just like Lord Indra's thunderbolt, which can crack to pieces even a huge mountain. Arjuna had the benediction from Indra to be able to throw Indra's thunderbolt. And once, while Indra was wandering in the Himalayas, he came upon many... Actually, at the request of Indra, he went to attack one city. And there were many Rakshasas living in this city. And as soon as Arjuna came on the outskirts of the city, he blew his conch shell, Devadatta. And all the Rakshasas came out to fight with him. So he was fighting with many of them, and he killed many of them. But there were so many of them that his Lord Indra's chariot driver, who had gone with him, Mathali, he advised him, you better use the Indra's thunderbolt. So he called upon Indra's thunderbolt and threw it. And one shot finished all the Rakshasas. They were all dead after that. So we understand from Bhagavatam that meditating on the Lord's lotus feet act just like a thunderbolt and can break the mountain of lusty desires, calm, that's situated within our hearts. So how powerful are the lotus feet of the Lord? If devotees take advantage of the opportunity to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, then they can become free from lusty desires, greediness, and anger, kam, krodh, and lobha. The holy name is non-different from Krishna. And Rupa Goswami in his Namastakam talks about the holy name's lotus feet. So when we're chanting, when we're trying to hear nicely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is compared to meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So we can just imagine that if Haranyakasipu and Haranyaksha can obtain Sayuja Mukti, right? They were so blasphemous. They were so inimical towards the Lord. But yet, because they were always thinking of the Lord, they got this Sayuja Mukti. So what is waiting there for those devotees of the Lord who are favorably thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through loving devotional service? Srila Prabhupada mentions in the verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. So it's not that Krishna... It's not that he needs your puris, Prabhupada said. Right? Why does he need your puris? He's hungry for your puris. But he accepts the service of a devotee when it's offered with love. And the whole point of Krishna consciousness is to develop love for Krishna, is to be attracted by Krishna's name, form, pastimes. If we're not, then we're missing the point. People come to Krishna consciousness for different reasons. Arto jignasya arto arti jnanicha bharitarshabha. Right? Because of being distressed, are in search of wealth, are being inquisitive. Right? And such persons are certainly pious. But this is not pure devotion. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the devotee needs to go forward. For whatever reason, in the beginning, coming to Krishna consciousness, one needs to recognize what the real goal is. Even in the material world, people have goals. They set goals. Like somebody wants to become a crorepati. Somebody wants to become multi-crorepati. They have goals. I remember the devotees that went with Srila Prabhupada to Japan, to the printer, Dai Nippon. Now, Srila Prabhupada was printing the Krishna books and Back to Godhead magazine at a very big printing house in Tokyo called Dai Nippon. So Srila Prabhupada went with some devotees and they met the executive, all the executives of Dai Nippon in a conference room. Right? And they discussed about printing, how big the print run of Krishna book would be, and how many Back to Godhead magazines. So as the custom, Japanese businessmen, they always have a visiting card, right? So one by one they put their visiting cards on top. You know, the lowest officer to the highest officer on top. That's the custom in Japan. The little stack of business cards. So, after the meeting was finished, the Japanese businessman left, but the most junior officer, he stayed back. And Srila Prabhupada was talking to him about what he wants to do in life, right? So what did he do? He took his business card off the bottom and he put his business card on the top to indicate what his goal was, right? So goals are a good thing. Even in the material world, people have goals. They have targets. Things that they want to reach in life. So as devotees, we also need to set goals for ourselves. What do we want to attain by following the process of Krishna consciousness? So we should be very careful to go for the Shreya Uttamam. The highest thing. Don't be shortchanged. Krishna can very easily give us fame. No problem. You lead the kirtan here in the temple room, and so many of the visitors will come over, they'll try to touch your feet. Fame. Easy. Krishna can easily award fame. Wealth. These things are Krishna can easily award. And if you trade off your devotional service for some material thing like name, fame, wealth, having so many followers, right? I'm the congregational leader. Mere paas 300 aadmi. Hum jo bhi bolega to sunte hain. मुझे फैसिलिटी देना चाहिए क्योंकि मेरे पास बहुत लोग है. You know, God can easily give that thing. But that's not the goal. We're missing the point. And if you have these short-term goals, you'll never be able to reach the Shreya Uttamam. You'll be diverted. You'll make offense. You'll make offenses. Going after these small-time things and accepting them as the result of your sadhana and trying to enjoy these things, you'll make offense. You'll make offense to the Lord's pure devotee, to the devotees in general. You'll make offense to the deities. And worst of all, you'll make offense to the holy name. Therefore, one has to keep the goal, the proper goal in mind in rendering devotional service. What is that goal? Krishna bhakti. Krishna prema. That's the goal. And again, sometimes it seems like very, very far off. Right? There used to be a singer that the hippies used to listen to. His name was Bob Dylan. Nobody ever heard of Bob Dylan here, right? Anybody heard of Bob Dylan here? No. Anyway, times change, I guess. But you ask any of the old devotees, A to Z, whether it's Giriraj Swami or Radhanath Swami or Indrajumna Swami or any of the Swamis, who's Bob Dylan? They say, oh yeah, I know Bob Dylan. So one thing he said was, in one of his songs was, that if they could see my mind like a movie, they'd throw me in jail. So we should know that Krishna knows our heart. Right? Krishna sees our... I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. Right? I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart. But Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and their pure devotees, they can see. They can see. So many times devotees said that when they met Srila Prabhupada, they felt as if Srila Prabhupada knew everything about them. Right? And that's a fact. Why? Because the pure devotee of the Lord is in touch with the Paramatma, with the Supreme Lord, through pure devotion. So let us not shortchange ourselves by becoming attracted to anything else except the Shreya Uttamam, the ultimate goal, and that is Prema Bhakti. We need to be prepared to give up anything that is keeping us from obtaining pure devotion, and we need to accept whatever it is that if that will help us get pure devotion. We have a demoniac mentality. It's there within the heart. But it can be cleansed out. We have an attitude with Krishna. Right? We think, why did Krishna do that? And why did Krishna do this? And why didn't Krishna do that? And why didn't he do this? Right? We don't understand who Krishna is. And how can a conditioned soul understand Krishna's activities? But it's possible by following carefully the instructions of Krishna's devotees. Therefore, Krishna says, Tad vidhi pranipatena puri prasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarsha. Let us not get carried away by anything else. Right? We're only temporarily situated here. You might have any post in ISKCON, but it's temporary. Right? It's not going to last. So don't be carried away by that. Huh? Rather, we should stay focused on the real goal of this Krishna consciousness movement, and that is to develop love for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, this statements of Hiranyakashipu that he will kill Lord Vishnu and he will be, blood will be there and things like that. So generally, in Kali Yuga, people they don't know about the spiritual subject matters. So if someone, in Kali Yuga, when there is not much spiritual understanding, if someone says like that, that is very common. But in previous ages, where Vedic culture was so strong, and this knowledge was not like, not to be seen, it was so prominent. In such scenario, how can such atheistic views we see? When there is, now it's like...
There's always two types of persons. The demons and the devotees. Large portion of the population, even now, they're innocent. They're just plain ignorant. They're not real confirmed demons. Right? Those are fewer in number. Innocent people can be dissuaded from the demoniac mentality. But your question is, how is it that that could, in the Vedic times, become prominent? Because it's always there. Even in the, it's not that there wasn't any atheistic philosophy in the Vedic quote unquote times. Huh? What was that philosopher?
Charvak.
Charvak.
Huh?
Charvak. Beg, borrow, or steal, ghee, and enjoy life. Because after this life, there's nothing. Demoniac mentality. It was there then. It's here now also. But in those times, the general populace were under the direction of the Brahmins, following their instructions. Right? There were pious rulers. There were kings that saw to it that people followed the Vedic prescriptions for advancement in life, and civilization was based on Varnashram Dharma. In Kali Yuga, those things are absent. Neither there's leaders that are God conscious, or persons who can instruct people about the purpose of the human form of life. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada tried to impress upon us the urgent need of spreading Krishna consciousness. That means the society needs some first-class men that can teach others what is the purpose of life and how to fulfill it. Without that, human civilization is going to be lost. Srila Prabhupada said in a TV interview in San Francisco during the summer of 1974 that whatever religion, Christian religion, Islam, whatever, it's meant for developing love of God. And if By that religion, you're developing love of God. This means human being. And if one is not developing love of God, this means animal. So the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring people to the human platform by understanding the purpose of this human form of life, which is to develop love of God. But in order to do that, we have to defeat the atheistic mentality, which is very, very prominent today. The atheists, just as we're making propaganda, they're making more propaganda. Much, much more propaganda than we are. Enjoy the senses. This is what the demons say. Enjoy life. You just get one chance at life. Grab all the enjoyment you can get. All the newspapers, magazines, they're all propounding this philosophy so that they can earn money. Sabse badiya rupya. So it seems very, very difficult to turn the tide of Maya. But if we can do it on a microcosm, as in our communities, our Krishna conscious communities, then we can also do it on a macrocosm, on a large scale. Right now it's the testing grounds. But one day it will increase more and more. Is that okay? Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.